Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Mukha pasako darpane drishyamanah. Mukha pasako darpane Mukhatvat pratektvain naivastivastu Chirabhasako dhishu jivopitadvata Chirabhasako dhishu jivopitadvata Sanityo palabdi swarupo hamatma Sanityo palabdi swarupo hamatma. So mukha abhasakaha darpane drishyamanaha mukatvat pratektvena na eva asti vastu chid abhasakaha dishu jivaha api tadvat saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha aham atma. Mukha abhasakaha. Abhasaka means like a reflection. Mukha is the face. So mukha abhasakaha is the reflection of a face, the reflection of your face, darpane, in a mirror. So the mukha abhasakaha, darpane, the reflection of your face in a mirror. Drishyamanaha, reflection of your face, mukha abhasaka. Drishyamana, which is seen, which is being seen in a mirror. So drishyamana means being seen. Okay? It's a passive present participle. So with the reflection of your face being seen in a mirror. Mukhatvat pratektvena na eva asti vastu. Na eva asti vastu. It is not, that reflection is not a vastu. A vastu means something that is a thing. There is no thing there. It is not something which is mukhatvat pratektvena. It's not something being which is separate from your actual face. Right? Here's the face you're seeing in the reflection of your face in a mirror. That reflection has no being of its own. It's not a vastu. A vastu means something that exists, right? It has no, it is not a vastu which is separate from your face. You know, you would not say, well, here's my face, and then here's my other face. I've got two faces. My face, right here, and then my face that's there in the reflection. Right, we wouldn't be thinking like that, right? This reflection has no being whatsoever apart from my face. And so this actually, we have to really probably sit with this for a while, because it's very important. I'll explain why. But first of all, let's just sit with this face thing. If you are looking at your reflection in a mirror, that reflection has no being and no experience of being. So if I'm sitting here, here's my face, here I am with my face, I feel my face. I can say, from the standpoint of my body, mind, sense organs, I am my face. This is who I am. My beingness is here, right here. Now, when I'm looking at the reflection of the face, I see my reflection there, but the beingness, the actuality of my being, doesn't transfer over to the reflection. See what I mean? The reflection is empty of anything. It's just simply a reflection, but it has nothing to offer other than its being a reflection. It has no essence, it has no being, it has no part of me whatsoever. You know? It has nothing, zero. But there is my reflection abiding in the mirror. Okay? And so that's all he's saying. This reflection, the reflection I'm seeing in the mirror, it is not a vastu. It has no thingness at all, apart from, separate from my face. Right? My face is what actually is here. And so then, second line, third line, he goes, like that. Tadvat means like that. Chira basakaha, the reflection of consciousness, of my being, the conscious being that I am, dishu, in the buddhis. He says, in your buddhi, there's one consciousness, right? But the abhasaka, the reflection of me, the one conscious being that is there, in dishu, in all of the buddhis. Buddhis means mind. When I say the word buddhi, this is a word that Swamiji will be using all the time if you ever listen to any tapes or anything like that. Any MP3s, this word you have to know, right? Buddhi means like your intellect, the antakarana. The antakarana is a word for the mind. So that inner instrument, it means, anta means inner, karana is instrument. So antakarana is a name for the mind. And we look at the mind as a whole as having four different types of functions, different types of vrittis. One vritti means thought modification. So a vritti, one vritti, type of vritti, category of vritti is called the buddhi. And the buddhi is when we have definite knowledge, clarity, certainty. So in fact, your atma-jnanam, your self-knowledge, is really a function of the buddhi. The buddhi is the one that gains self-knowledge. Whereas the manas is really the fluctuating mind, the thought flow, also your negative emotions are held in the manas. It's interesting. They don't say that the positive emotions are held in the manas because the positive emotions, which have some sort of ananda, fullness in them, really just involved the shanti of whatever it were, of the antakarana, the shanti of the buddhi, in fact. When the buddhi becomes quiet, becomes peaceful, then the ananda of your being is reflected in that buddhi, right? Whereas the manas is the quality of the undercurrent, which is becoming more agitated or a lot of motion going on, just thought flow going on, it can become stressed or tense. So those type of qualities that can produce the negative emotions are held in the manas as it becomes, you know, different degrees of stress or agitation or things like that are producing these type of emotions. And the buddhi will say, the ahankara is usually given to the buddhi. The buddhi will say, oh, I feel so stressed. Because the buddhi is responding to and aware of the different types of emotions and thought flow or agitations that are taking place in the manas aspect of the antakarana. The buddhi is going to be the one who can comment on that, who can identify with it, you know, who can say, I'm not feeling well, or I'm feeling so happy, you know, commenting on the experience with definiteness. Like if it's going, the mind is going, oh, I don't know if I'm happy or sad, I have no idea what's going on. That's all manas babbling away. It has no clarity. Buddhi is the one. The ahankara and the buddhi is aware of the world, comments on the world, has clarity about whether you left your your stove on or not. It's the buddhi that says you did not leave your stove on. That's the buddhi, clarity. Mind is fluctuating. Then the mind also has, the antakarana also has memory, has the capacity for memory. And then, of course, the ahankara. the I notion that's identifying with all of these different experiences that we have. Those are all vrittis, right? All of these vrittis belong to belong to the mind. The mind is really nothing but vrittis, we can say. And so here, when we say, going back to this, mukha abhasakaha, the reflection of the reflection in the reflection of one's face being seen in the mirror has really no being separate from the actual face, the beingness. Mukhatva means the beingness of the face, the reality of the face. It has no vastu, no reality at all. Just like the jiva, like that, the jiva also, the reflection the reflection of consciousness in all of the buddhis, right? That reflection of consciousness in all of the buddhis, which we call the jiva. So it goes, jira basakaha dishu jivaha. So this word jiva, the jiva also, which is a reflection of consciousness in the buddhi, like that, the jiva, this jiva also, is a reflection of consciousness in the buddhis. So if it's like that means that just like the reflection of a mirror, the reflection of your face in a mirror has no being, offers no experience at all, separate from the face, from the person, like that, the experience of me in the buddhi, we call that a chid abhasa, a reflection of consciousness, which itself has no experience of me. It is not a vastu. It is not, that's why there is no such thing as a little self or a big self, as though this identification with myself is the mind. We call that a reflection of consciousness. A very dangerous word, that's why I'm going to kind of unpack it here. We call that a reflection of consciousness. Like consciousness is reflected in the mind, it's not reflected in the couch, right? The couch can't talk. And so we say this, the sukshma sharira with your mind enjoys a reflection of consciousness. So what does that mean? It's like I was using the example this morning of like the sun is reflecting in the water bucket, right? So there we have a little sun there in the water bucket. And then we'll think that I am that sun. As a jiva, I am that reflection of consciousness. That's who I am. I'm not the big consciousness. I'm not, my being is not the big sun. I am the little reflection of the sun. See what I mean? And that's how we take the jiva, as though the jiva has some sort of experience, some sort of beingness, or some sort of reality that then, through knowledge and meditation, and on pranayama and all of these types of things, that reflection will then somehow merge back into the sun. So this reflection, this jiva, this small me, this reflection of the self, needs to merge back, my little jiva, needs to merge back into the consciousness, which is Brahman. This is the type of thinking that travels around in the New Age circles. Whatever you want to say. New Age circles. Meaning where there's no understanding. And it's a dangerous thing also. It's dangerous because then you take your self-experience to be other than Brahman. Your self-experience is the reflection of Brahman. Your self-experience is the reflection of the limitless self, which is the self of Ishvara. And you as jivas somehow have to merge back into that big self, which means it has so many repercussions. If I feel this way, if I'm deluded in this way, then what happens is even with meditation, when I'm meditating, myself, the reflection of Brahman, right, needs to merge back into Brahman so that I can then have the experience of Brahman. Because what I am is like just a little spark, like a little reflection, which is different than the object. It's like this is the pratibimba, this is the reflection, but Brahman is the bimba. Brahman is the actual thing that is there, but my experience is of the reflection. And that isn't true. There is no experience of the reflection. So, in fact, let me just get rid of the word reflection and tell you what we really mean by it. So, if, well, let's look at it like this. Every thought in my mind is known. This wall, for instance, it's, to me, this wall, this vision of this room is not known to me unless I am able to have a thought modification of it, which then allows it to be known. And so the vritti, how do I get this thought modification of the room? Well, I need to use my eyes, right, which then feed in the vision of this room into my mind, so I get what's called an antakarana vritti. Just say vritti, a thought modification of the room, and then that thought modification is known. Okay? It is known. Because it is known, you know, because it is known, and because it is known, the fact that it enjoys knownness, that vritti enjoys knownness, we say that I am reflected in the vritti. Because, only because, the vritti enjoys the sense of being known, that itself is the reflection of me in the vritti. So let me tell you how to kind of understand this. The word is known here is an important word, because the word is known is synonymous with the word consciousness. Consciousness by its very nature is known. It doesn't require any pramana or any means of knowledge to light it up. Consciousness does not require a knower in order for consciousness to be known, right? Just like the sun doesn't require another sun to come in and light it up. It is known, it is luminous by its very nature. So consciousness is luminous by its very nature of being consciousness. So what is that experience of, for consciousness, of being known? Because we say is luminous is like a metaphor that we use for the sun is luminous. It doesn't need another luminary to light it. So consciousness is different than the sun, but it's a good metaphor, right? So here, what does it mean? Consciousness is luminous. We mean consciousness is known. Not by any other means of knowledge, but because it is consciousness. So the knownness that we enjoy anywhere is only consciousness. Consciousness is self-evident, self-effulgent. What does that mean in terms of one's experience in life? What does it mean when you say your being is self-evident, self-luminous? Self-evident means that when we say self-evident, it means it doesn't need any other pramana or means of knowledge to light it up. It's its own light, so to speak. But what is our experience of that? The experience is that consciousness is known without any duality, without any other means of knowledge. It is knownness itself. I say known because if I say is known, you're all familiar with is known. This is known, this is known, this is known, this is known. But if I get rid of the whole universe, all duality, and only consciousness is there, is it known or not? And we say yes. It is known not as an object, But the is-knownness is its very swarupa, its very nature. So consciousness is knownness. Now, if I get rid of the whole world and I can just say it's self-evident, self-effulgent consciousness. But in our language, we don't say that when a vritti comes up, that, oh, that's vritti consciousness. So Swamiji has started saying this, actually. That's vritti consciousness. Because he's trying to make us understand that the experience of consciousness is what is here, and now in reference to vritti, we'll say it's vritti consciousness. But I want you to understand that, okay, we don't usually talk like that. So what does that mean, vritti consciousness? It means that this vritti, the vritti is known. Right? The vritti is known means vritti consciousness. So when you say, just in your language, just the way we use language, I know this, I know this, I know this. I can also say in the passive tense, this is known, this is known, this is known. The this is known, this is known, this is known is more accurate than saying, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. So let me tell you why. We're going to do a little exercise. If you look at the wall behind me, you can say, just whatever you're looking at, you can say, okay, this is known. Forget the by me, just the fact of it. It is known, right? The space intervening the wall and all of you and all of this is known, is known, is known. It's just it's common language. It is known because it is illumined. I'm aware of it, whatever you want to say. But I'm saying it is known. Is it agreed? Then I say this body is known. That should be agreed. The body is known, because I'm aware of it, it's known. But I'm not saying I'm aware of it now, we're leaving that out. I'm just simply saying it's known. True. I say, my sense organs are known. I'm focusing on my sense organs, yeah. These sense organs are known, that's true. My mind is known. My thoughts are known. My emotions are known. The ahankara is known, the I thought is known. My knowledges and my ignorances are known. I know what I know, I know what I don't know. They are known. Space is known. Time is known. All relationships are known. Whatever comes into my mind is known. Then, the next thing I say, and I am known. I am known. Are you known or not? You can't say you're not known. Is a me known? Yes, it is known. I may not know everything about what it is, but it is known. Now, if you think about this, absolutely everything in your experience from the subject, me, to the farthest object, to your imaginations, to your moods, to your memories, to your perceptions, to your body, to your sense organs, all the thoughts in your mind, everything. Everything is known. You can never have an experience that is not known. And the knownness, and you also are known. Okay. You also are known. Do you see? There's no knower. Really. It's just the whole thing is known. The knowership that we attribute knowership to the mind, you know, I know this, I know that. We attribute knowership to the sense organs. I am the seer of these forms. I am the hearer of these sounds. We're attributing knowership to those instruments which are allowing things to be known. But the knownness, the swarupa, the nature of the knownness, which everything enjoys, is the Satchitatma, is me. I am the knownness, and everything shines after me. Everything is known, is known, is known, is known. Is the asti, is the existent being, the being. Everything is, it is, it is. It's not just is, it is known. In the entirety of my experience, everything is and is known, including me. The difference is that these things, all of the things that are known, is all of the is knowns, come and go into in is known, is the is knownness of me. I am the is knownness. And all experiences that are known are really, right, just enjoying me. And we call that a reflection. We call that fact that Maya, Maya means all of the nama-rupas, all of the names and forms that are coming into my sphere, or we can go also in terms of the whole entire sumeshti upadi, the entire thing is Ishwara, the whole creation, the whole entire creation enjoys is-knownness. The whole creation as Ishwara. If you look at the whole Ishwara upadi, the whole Ishwara body, body-mind, that whole thing enjoys is-knownness. And every jiva that has this sattva, that has mind sense organs, from its own standpoint, it enjoys is-knownness. All the vrittis are is-knownness. But the is-knownness that is pervasive to every experience of every one of us is the same is-knownness that is pervasive to Ishwara. You know, that is-knownness is what we call consciousness. I'm just saying, consciousness is an abstract word, so let's look at what it is experientially. What do you mean by consciousness? Yeah, I'm a conscious being. But really, in your world of experience, how do you talk about that? You talk about it experientially as everything that is known. And if I take away all of the Maya, all of the name and form, what is left is just me. And what is that? It is just is-knownness, self-evident. Is-knownness means it is self-evident. I'm self-shining. I'm self-shining as what? As the is-knownness, which is devoid of any object. And so you can think that this, you always almost negate yourself. Just look at how magical this is. Like if I say I have a thought of say a beautiful, like in our beautiful walk today, we looked at this beautiful crystalline lake, you know, so beautiful. Now this lake is known, right? The lake is known. It's so beautiful. The whole thing is known. The whole panorama that we saw, the whole thing is known, right? I have just erased myself as I say that. This whole thing is known, because I could as well say that this whole thing is me. I say this whole thing is known, and I am erased in that is-knownness. See that? Because the is-knownness is consciousness. It is consciousness. There is no other is-knownness. The is-knownness is consciousness. And so I say, oh, this whole thing is known. And now I have to come up with the knower, right? And so who is the knower going to be? Well, the knower, of course, is going to be the mind and sense organs in whom that vritti takes place. So the ahankara, the I notion, comes up as one of the, you know, stalwart thoughts that you have in the antakarana. You know, the I notion comes up, and it will say, I am looking at, I am the seer, I am the knower, I'm looking at, I'm appreciating this beautiful lake. And so what it is doing is taking the vritti, and because I'm not going to say I am the lake, right? Because I'm this body. How could I be a lake? You know, I'm not going to say I'm the lake. So I have to be the one, the conscious aspect of the vritti, who is then aware of the lake. So the lake is known, and I am known. I make a false division there. The lake is known, right? And I am known. So I am identifying with the consciousness aspect of the vritti, and I'm separating the consciousness aspect of the vritti from the known lake that the vritti is the material, I mean the objects that are in the vritti. I'm making a separation there. It's a false separation. My actual experience is just that the lake is known. I can acknowledge the vritti, which because of the sense organs has gained the form of the lake, so to speak, right? It's taken on the picture of the lake, but that vritti is known. Now, why wouldn't I say that that vritti is me? Ajnani would say, that is me. This vritti is Maya. I'm the clay. You know, I'm what is that? I'm the being that is actually here that the vritti is enjoying. And the vritti from its own standpoint is not self-luminous. But its luminosity is there because it totally enjoys me. But when the vritti goes and is replaced by another vritti, that vritti is gone. It doesn't carry any luminosity with it. It doesn't carry knownness with it. You know, this vritti comes, it is known. So this vritti there's two words here. It is known. Is known. Sat chit. It enjoys being, isness, and it is known. Now this vritti goes away, as do all vrittis. This is a stream. It goes away. Now the next vritti is known. It goes away. When the vritti goes away, if it enjoyed any type of consciousness or reality or being of its own, it would just be traveling as a known thing. Its is-knownness would continue traveling as it left me. But that isn't the situation at all. Then the vritti rises in me. It is known. And it goes. Next one rises. It is known. So how I should be thinking about this is that the is known is what is stable. Now I say it differently. I am stable. I am the one who is stable. I am the is knownness. I am the self-evident conscious being in which all of these vrittis arise. And so when this vritti arises, it has no being apart from me. And so it is only me. It's like the clay saying, this pot is formed, it has no being apart from me, therefore it is only me. This vritti arises, it has no being apart from me, therefore it is only me. But it is mitya. It is only me because there is no being, other being there. But it is mitya because it itself has no being other than me to give it any type of reality. So here, in this verse, it's a beautiful example. He's saying, you know, we have to take it further. But the idea is really beautiful. And he says, for that reflection, what is actually being seen there, you know, it has no being at all. The reflection has no being. I could say the vritti has no being. The illusion, the ahankara, has no being. The ahankara is just a vritti, an erroneous vritti, born of self-ignorance, that identifies me with the mind. It's an ignorance-born vritti. The ahankara is going to go. The I is not going to go. The appropriate label of the word I is not going to go. But you think that you are your mind. You think that your being is the mind. Because the ahankara divides up the mind into the conscious aspect of what is known and the object of what is known. This, you know, it divides that up, and then it is identifying itself with the mind, which is enjoying is knownness. This is the reflection, you know. But what is actually happening? It's the satyamitya of every single thought you have. The is knownness is you, the conscious being, and the mind, the vritti, with all of its content, all of its different names and forms, what substances does it have apart from you? It's the idea, what substance does it have? Can you grasp onto it? Can you keep it? Can you put it on a shelf? Is there anything that you can do with it? It has no substance at all, other than yourself. And so all of these things, you're walking around continually, is known, is known, is known, right? Everything, absolutely everything. But you can as well say, yeah, this is known, 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 this is known. Why don't you say, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me, this is me. There's never a time, there's never anything that is other than me. However, these things that have no being, no substance other than me, come and go. So they're mitya. I don't come and go. Anything that is mitya is not other than me. It can't be. Because mitya means that it depends on me for its being. That's what mitya means. And you can't say that anything that you experience in this creation is other than mitya. By very simple logic, that every single thing in this universe comes and goes. By its nature, it comes into being and goes out of being, comes into being, goes out of being. Within itself, continually changing, and then the whole thing also is born and dies. And while it's here, it's continually changing. Okay? So, all of these experiences that we have, if you just use your mind, that your mind itself is enough, because every vritti is coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. But even if we analyze this physical world that we think is solid, you know, solid, this really is some sort of matter. This is material, you know, that is real. No, it's not real at all. It's not real at all. Because you can't even find anything here. If you analyze this, you analyze this couch, it breaks up into minuscule little parts until you get down to atoms and quarks. There's nothing here except a conglomerate. There's nothing, as Swamiji said, there's nothing here but a name. The thing that is actually here is just conscious being. So let this chair or this couch, let it be a name for what it is. It's a name for Brahman. Okay? Rug Brahman, conscious being Brahman, cloth Brahman, person Brahman, hair Brahman. Why? Because you want to find out, in terms of any of these things that you experience, what is inside of it? What is it? What is it really? What is the stuff of this form? And then you try to take the form apart to try to find really what's inside of it. But you can take it apart forever. It's limitless. It goes into an infinite regress. You can never. A form, because a form by nature takes up space, as long as it takes up space, you can take it apart. You just need a smaller instrument. And you want to see inside what's in there, really. You can never see inside, because all you can see is outside. You can only see the outside. You can only see the form, because your sense organs only allow that. And so, to figure out what is actually there, then you have to realize in your mind, logically, you know, you're not ever going to be able to see what is actually there, because you can only see forms. And forms, you have to see what the content of the form is. Right? And so what you have to do to understand is take off the form from the content. Remove the form from the content. Then, of course, you can't see it. Okay. However, you have to realize then, your mind has to go to a little different level. Say, no matter what the form is, what the size of the form is, what it is, small, big, large, conglomerate, makes no difference, that form is. Take it into smaller parts, those smaller parts, they are. They are and they are known. You take it into smaller parts, they are and they are known, such shit. Take it into smaller parts, they are and they are known. Take the whole form off, what do you have? Is known. That's what's left. Being is left. Being without being named from the standpoint of the form. Being is not a form. My being, my amness is not a form. It is me. It is the ultimate subject. It is the sat-chit, which everything enjoys, the conscious being, which everything enjoys. Changelessly, because non-dual, not objectified. It's the only thing which exists. But what is that experientially for you that allow you to say, I am everything? All you have to say is, it is known, therefore it is me. It is known, the is known is the Satchitatma. There is no other is known. The is known is only the Satchitatma. Everything else is Jada. Everything else is what he said about in previous verse, Abodhakatmanani. It is all the manas, etc. All of them are known. They don't know you back. They're Jada. Jada means that they are themselves, they're not the consciousness. Otherwise, they have consciousness and you have consciousness. There's only one consciousness. We never experience two consciousness. So everything that we take to be conscious, we, upon analysis, we realize it's really objectified. It's an object that I'm aware of, and therefore it is known. Right? It is known, but not from its own standpoint. Right? It itself is not the knower. It enjoys is knownness, as does the whole universe. But who is the is knownness? Who is it? The is knownness is just a synonym for me, for consciousness. There is no other is knownness. So, that's it.
Shate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo